Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Young Black and Opinionated. I'm your host, Christina Royster. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening today, and you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. And you can always follow me, Miss Chris D, MissChrisDee on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok as well. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking all about how, you know, in America, we tout equality, but it's not always equal, particularly for Black women, and especially in business. So let's get into it. So y'all, the reason I wanted to talk about Black women in business is because a few things in pop culture have stood out to me this week, and they all kind of tie back to this theme. Like, it all kind of clicked for me, because I'm not going to hold, at first I wasn't going to put out an episode this week, I was going to take a break, but I had to get this off my chest because all the puzzle pieces just fit for me, and I was like, wow, a lot of my, you know, favorite TV shows, sitcoms, documentaries, what have you, they all have kind of touched on this women in business this week. And I wanted to highlight how August 26th is Women's Equality Day. But when we talk about Women's Equality Day, whose equality is it? Because it really kind of, it kind of keeps Black women out of it. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I wanted to start out with, you know, the sitcom that inspired all of this episode. It's going to be Living Single from the 90s. One of our favorite Black sitcoms. Living Single turned 30 this week. The first episode aired on August 22nd, 1993. And that show, to me, is just like quintessential Black woman excellence. And it's crazy because it came out 30 years ago. The show is older than me, but I've seen it. My friends have seen it. And now as we get older, the show kind of hits different. The show kind of resonates a little bit more. And when I saw that the show was turning 30, I knew I had to say something because just a few years ago, I believe it was 2021, I did an episode of the podcast where I kind of recapped one of my favorite episodes of Living Single, and that episode was season 1, episode 5, I believe, and it was all about how Khadija was in the black. She was about to go bankrupt, and she needed some money for her business, and first of all, can we just talk about the fact that Queen Latifah, a queer woman gone from rapper to actor, was the star of this show, written by a Black woman. Actually, in fact, fun fact about Living Single, the creator, Yvette Lee Bowser, she worked on shows like A Different World, and I'm blanking on her older shows. But back then at that time, she had worked on A Different World. And now, today in 2023, I told you guys about a show I watch on Stars called Run the World. She's the showrunner for that show as well. So she still got it. She's still in the industry. She's still in the game. Well, I don't know right now with the strike going on. But Yvette Lee Bowser, with Living Single, she actually became the first African-American woman to develop her own primetime series. That only happened just 30 years ago, y'all. So that's why I look up to the women of this show. I look up to the creators, the cast, the crew, every single one of the women in the show, honestly. Like, the more, you know, I grow and develop into a woman in my late 20s, I see what they were going through back then, and it kind of resonates with me a little bit more. Everybody from Regine to Max. Max is hilarious. That's probably how, wow, that's probably how she ended up on Run the World. I think I told you guys the last episode, or a few episodes ago, that the woman who plays Maxine, Erica Alexander, she's on that show, Run the World. So you see how it's just Black women connecting and networking and putting each other on. And that's what I love. I love the fact that this show was able to go on for 5 seasons. And again, it really just showed like independent women. They all had good jobs. And so going back to Queen Latifah's character, Khadija James, she was the owner of an independent urban magazine called Flavor. And you know me, I've always, you know, wanted to start my own flavor, so to speak. And guess what? That's kind of what I'm doing now with YBO, right? And so having that as a role model, having that as an example, even if it was just on TV, that means so much. Representation means so much. And so with Living Single, I was thinking, you know, back on that episode that I talked about when Khadija had no money, it probably wouldn't be as hard if she was a Black male-owned business. And I say that because I remember in that episode, she was trying to get like advertising dollars or something. And this one like really crass Black guy was like, oh, the only way you're going to get advertisements is if you like advertise my beer or whatever. And she was like, no, I don't really want to do that. Like, that wasn't really her style. And so it just goes back to how Black women, we have the vision, we have the dreams, we have the can-do-itness. Clearly, Khadijah was able to start her own magazine, and it's not that far-fetched. We see Black women starting businesses every day, but the problem is the funding. So I just want to go back a little bit and share with you guys some statistics, because y'all know I got to back up what I'm saying, because I could say, you know, Black women don't get no money, but I want y'all to know how serious it is. So here's an article from Yahoo Money, and it reads, Black women are more likely to start their own businesses than other women, but they face steep obstacles when it comes to funding their entrepreneurial ventures. The median seed round for Black women entrepreneurs in 2020 was $125,000, according to Project Diane. To you and I, that probably sounds like a lot, but guess what? The national median for entrepreneurs receiving seed funding was $2.5 million. So what is that compared to the $125,000 that Black women received? And they said, during the pandemic, Black women received even less help. And according to the data here, Black small business owners received only 0.5% of PPP loans. So bringing the attention back to Black women, the number one issue here that's facing women entrepreneurs is access to capital. And that's a quote from Kamika Smith. She's the founder of BOSS, B-O-S-S, Bringing Out Successful Sisters Network. And so as a result, Black women entrepreneurs have to step up and help launch other women's businesses. So Black women who do have capital, like Serena Williams, for example, we've talked about Serena Williams. She's getting into venture capitalism because there's just a lack of funding for Black women businesses. They said that from 2014 to 2019, apparently Black female business owners received only 0.43% of the $166 billion in venture capital. We can't even get one whole percent. We can't even get one whole percent. So it's kind of defeating sometimes, especially for me when I'm trying to start my own business, when I'm trying to, you know, eyeball entrepreneurship and seeing these statistics, it's kind of defeating. But at the end of the day, we're still making it happen. Black women are still somehow making it happen. We're helping each other. We're pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's not only going to require funding, but it's going to require mentorship. And we really need Black women to put other Black women on and stop being a hater, stop being a gatekeeper. That's all I'm gonna say on that. I don't have time to bother that. But we need to help each other out because we see the money is there. All these other businesses, Goop, I'm sorry, but who wants a fucking vagina scented candle? If Goop and Gwyneth Paltrow can get her coin, then Black women businesses sure can get our coin. So that's all I want to say on that. But that brings me to a documentary that I watched this week called Time of Essence. It's actually a 5-part docuseries celebrating Essence magazine, which, you know, Essence has really informed and reflected Black culture in America since its founding in 1970. So that's another thing that I want to talk about this week, and how Essence magazine, which we see is like quintessential for Black woman excellence. Did y'all know it was founded by 4 Black men? My mind was blown. I had no idea that it was 4 Black men behind this women's magazine. And you want to know why? Because it goes back to funding. Yeah, black men can get a little more coin than Black women. And so I'm going to tell you guys what I learned from the first episode of this 5-part docuseries. It's called Time of Essence. It's by OWN, so you know Oprah behind this joint, but it is streaming on HBO as well. And I'm just going to tell you how this magazine came to be, because I feel like it really goes back to what I was saying, like, how Essence was founded by 4 Black men in 1970 because essentially Black women wasn't going to get the money for it. So jumping ahead, you know, 23-some late years later, we're having a TV show about a Black woman-owned magazine, Living Single, and Khadijah James owning Flavor Magazine. So it's incredible to watch. We still have a long way to go, but I just want to give y'all a little bit of history so y'all know. And speaking of that, a little bit off topic, but y'all know I watch a lot of documentaries, and I be rehashing a lot of documentaries on this podcast, and I think it's time I start a podcast about documentaries, so keep an eye out for that. I want to know if I started a podcast about all the documentaries I watch, which y'all listen, because I'm really feeling that. All right, so Time of Essence. I wanted to start with this quote. As somebody said, Actually, it was Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg was in the documentary. And when they talked about how Essence was founded by four black men, Ed Lewis, who had a background in banking, Cecil Hollingsworth, who had a background as an entrepreneur, Clarence Smith, who was in sales, and Jonathan Blount, who was in sales, Whoopi Goldberg said, these four black men probably had to found it because four black women most likely didn't have the money. And that quote really stuck out to me because they were talking about how 1970s, this was the zeitgeist of black culture. Everybody was wearing their afros and their bell bottoms and being pro-black, and black women were, you know, finally getting the freedom to be who they wanted to be. We still couldn't get enough money to start a magazine. And not only that, but nobody else even had the idea to service black women besides black men. Let that sink in. Brothers, we need you. We need you to support us. We need you to back us up. So let's go back to the beginning. Essence started in the 1970s, as I say, which was booming with black pride. Black women were looking for that freedom of self-reflection because at this time, there were magazines. Magazines did exist. There was Vogue. There was Good Housekeeping. But they didn't resonate with black women. They didn't talk about black hair. They didn't talk about black bodies. They didn't talk about the issues that were facing black women in the 1970s. So these four men, who were only in their 20s, mind you, which always reminds me, like, we could do anything we want to do. It's never too late. It's never too early. I'm only 28 years old, and I could start a magazine right now if I wanted to. So they were only in their 20s, right? And this was post-MLK riots. So black people really needed hope. And Oprah said to turn the page, and I'm represented on every page of Essence. Like, that really meant something to black people at that time. Even Oprah was cited in Essence magazine back then as like an up and coming rising news star. So even she said even that like meant so much to her career. They really helped so many black women's careers as well, like featuring them in the magazine. But going back to the funding, right? How did they get the money? These four guys said that they wanted to raise $1.5 million. And that was going to get the magazine going. So they said they got money from Freedom National Bank. That was the first person to give them some money. And they gave them like $10,000. Freedom National Bank was a black-owned bank in Harlem that had Jackie Robinson as one of its founding partners. So again, keeping it in-house, keeping it all black. Then they said some other, you know, prominent black men, they contributed money. But out of their $1.5 million that they wanted to raise, they only got $130,000. And that was black men. So imagine if it was black women in the 1970s. The door wouldn't even be slammed in our face. We just wouldn't even be at the door back then. And so they got the money together. You know, what happened was they got a big lump from Playboy, which I don't like. I put in my notes, I put the little side smirk face because I also recently watched the documentary Secrets of Playboy. And listen, it's not a secret, right? We knew Hugh Hefner was probably shiesty at some point in his career. But to watch that documentary and see how toxic the whole culture was, and to find out that Essence, they got some of their seed money from Hugh Hefner, kind of puts a sour taste in my mouth. But you know what? That's the past, and we're here now. So hopefully they're not indebted to Playboy. Hopefully Playboy didn't get a cut of their profits. I mean, hopefully they're not now. I don't know. But anyway, so they got some money, right? They got some extra money from Playboy. Then they said, we need a creative director. We need to bring this to life. They got Gordon Parks. Gordon Parks got on board. He was a great photographer who was already prominent in Life magazine, Vogue magazine. So he was like the creative director. Okay, so still a boys' club. Finally, they hire a black woman editor-in-chief to get this magazine off the ground. Her name was Bernadette, but she butted head with the partners over what? Money. She wanted to be paid fairly. They probably didn't have the funds to do it. So they hired another black woman, Ruth Ross, who was an assistant editor at Newsweek. Now, again, this is why black women need to have a seat at the table. This is why black women need to probably own the table, because these four black men, they wanted to name Essence magazine Sapphire. And at that time, Sapphire, and still today, is a negative connotation for a loud, brash, rude, angry, whorish black woman. Sapphire was like apparently a sitcom back in the 70s, and it was like the only representation of black women on TV at that time. So they wanted to name the magazine Sapphire? Like, are you dumb? Are you stupid? So they said, thank God they did not name it that. The woman who they hired, Ruth Ross, she came up with the name Essence. Thank you, Jesus. Because that would have really ruined their reputation. They probably would have never, Essence would have never been what they are now if they had the name Sapphire. So again, shout out to black women. And so going back to money, you got a magazine. How are you going to make money? You're going to have to get some advertisers. And what was really sad was they said how hard it was to get advertisers for a black woman-centric magazine. They were like pulling teeth to get advertisers, to get funding. And somebody pointed out how like, damn, racism even trumps advertising. Because y'all know marketers, y'all know advertisers. They love to get some coin. They love some product placement. But they didn't even want to be in our magazine. They hate us that much. Like, especially they were talking about the cosmetics companies. The cosmetics companies really wasn't fucking with us. They said the only advertisers they could get for the magazine at this time, of course, who wants to advertise to black people? Alcohol, tobacco, and hair products. That was the only thing that they could advertise at that time. And so they're sitting around, they're asking, like, what kind of magazine is this going to be? This isn't Good Housekeeping. This isn't Vogue. We're not just going to be giving women pretty pictures of fashion and recipes for their husbands, okay? The woman, Ruth Ross, she really wanted it to be heavily editorial content, but the creative director, Gordon Parks, didn't agree. So they both upped and left. And that brings us to their real first true editor-in-chief, as I like to call it, Ida Lewis, 1970 through 1971. And so with Ida, the other thing that really stuck out to me was the fact that they hired a black woman to work under her. And just as I said, we need to lift each other up. We're not trying to gatekeep out here. We're not trying to, you know, put the other black women down. She admitted on this documentary, because all these people are still alive, mind you. This is only 1970. All these people are still alive, and they're eager to talk about this on the documentary. And the black woman, Ida Lewis, was like, yeah, the woman they hired under me, she really wanted my job, and I didn't want her to take my job. And the other woman did admit. She's like, well, I did want her job. But that kind of pit two black women against each other, and Ida got the boot, and Marsha, she's the one who really made Essence kind of like what we know it is today. She's the one who really wanted to support our own. She made sure there was real journalism in Essence magazine with Nikki Giovanni, Gwen Brooks, James Baldwin. They all had published interviews in Essence. And so that really gave Essence some clout. And again, that is the mind of a black woman editor-in-chief saying, this is what we need. This is what people want to read. You think you know black women, but you don't know black women. This is why we need things for us, by us, period. And so what happened? The four men, they had beef. One of them was fired. And again, you know, they're kind of in a power struggle at the top about the direction of the magazine and everything, not listening, not knowing that we know best. And so they even talked about how at that time, with Essence growing, that really grew black women's careers. There were so many black women involved. They even talked about how Essence's coverage of Shirley Chisholm was, you know, very extensive during this time. She ran for president against Nixon in 1972, and black women weren't really included in the women's movement. So that's what I wanted to get at with the Women's Equality Day, because I'm like, how is it women's equality if it's not really equal for all women? ? And going back to this whole, you know, documentary, they were talking about how, like, during the 70s, women, like I said, it was like pubic hair, 70s, like, we can do it. We're women, but not y'all. They literally talked about how it was like white women and then black women over there. You can just go over there. And that's really hurtful, because look at history. It's always black women lifting other people up. Black women supporting other movements. And when it comes time for us to have equality, it's crickets. And so as we're celebrating Women's Equality Day on August 26th, this is the 103rd anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, the adoption of the 19th Amendment in 1920. And everybody's like, yay, women got the right to vote. No, we didn't. The fuck we did. Black women didn't get to vote until 1965. And really, we know with the Civil Rights Act, that don't mean we really got to vote, for real, for real. So keep that in mind when y'all are talking about women's equality. Like, I've just been feeling more, you know, close to my Black identity than my woman identity, because not all women are for each other, I've noticed, and it really sucks. And so going back to Essence, this was actually a quote from Whoopi Goldberg. She said, "We're first to get it done, but last to get help." Ooh, preach! Can that be the title of this episode? First to get it done, but last to get help. And I think it's just, it goes back to how people always think, like, Black women are strong. You got it. You independent, sis. Yes, I got it, but that don't mean I want to carry it by myself. I actually saw a meme that was like, just because I can carry it doesn't mean it's not heavy. And I think that's what people need to realize about Black women. Like, just because we are proving to have successful businesses out here without the funding would definitely help. Please, please believe we will accept your funding. And so they talked about how Essence was really part of the Black explosion happening at the time. It was a time of Pam Grier, Diana Ross, Donna Summer. Shout out to my girl, Donna Summer. Go back and listen to that episode a few weeks ago if you haven't already. And this magazine really gave Black women a safe space to tell their stories. And so the episode ended talking about how, you know, there was some fight over ownership and stock. And how that tension at the top, you know, unfortunately, it always comes down to like money. When people are fighting over money and stuff, that can stop the publication of this magazine. That could stop the flow of ideas. That could stop the creativity. And so we'll see on the next episode how they broke through that in the 1980s. They're going to talk about the 80s on the next episode. So that show is going to be airing on OWN on Fridays at 9 p.m., I believe. But as soon as I saw that, I was like, connecting the dots, going back to living single. And why was it so shocking to have a TV show about a Black woman owned magazine? Because we see just 20 years prior, that was not the case. And even today, it was still kind of be hard to do. I've had, you know, actually a Black woman magazine founder on the podcast, Tanisha Carr, and she talked about, you know, how she was in Paris and London in the 90s and immersing herself in fashion, and she didn't really find a safe space there. And I think that that's exactly why Black women are creating their own businesses today. That's why we're the first one to jump up and do it. Just like Whoopi said, we see the problems, we have the solutions, but now we need the funding. And so, yeah, maybe we should take a lesson from Essence. You know, Black men, if y'all out there with some venture capital, help your sisters out. Sisters, help each other out, because that was what I loved about Khadijah James. She never put anybody down. She always put people on. Even, you know, the Jamaican character, the people who you know, didn't quite have a lot of publishing experience or expertise, she still put them on the map and she still let them participate. And what I really loved about Khadijah was she really used everybody's gifts. She really tapped into people's talents. And that's what it all goes back to. I think that as I think about my own career journey and I toy with entrepreneurship, I think about, like, what am I passionate about? What do I love going back to? And that's definitely documentaries. So I'm telling y'all now, I'm probably going to start talking about some more documentaries I've been watching, because I just love the crossover of Black history and film, and how TV shows like Living Single and documentaries like Time of Essence are documenting or solidifying what's happening in our society at that time. And it's been a slow climb for Black women, but best believe we are forging these paths. And what I love about some Black women is that we're pulling each other up along the way, and I really hope that others do too. So just keep that in mind as, you know, we talk about August is Black Business Month. Particularly, I want to support a Black woman-owned business. Can you do that for me? Make sure it's a Black woman-owned business. I know I've been supporting Black woman-owned businesses this month, so I hope you do too. And not just August, of course, but all year long. And make sure y'all check out reruns of Living Single. I'm going to definitely be rewatching that show, because, as I said, in my 20s, it just resonates so much more now that I actually can relate. And, you know, I'm more privy to what's going on. And definitely check out Time of Essence if you want to learn more about how this iconic magazine in Black culture, I'm sure every Black household has had a cover of Essence. Y'all had to at least had that cover with Obama. I know every household had that one. So definitely make sure you're tapped into some of these things and support Black women, period. Invest in this pussy boy, support Black business, in the words of Megan Thee Stallion. Love that line. If y'all liked what y'all heard today, make sure you subscribe, rate, review, leave me a comment. All right, I need to get 5 stars, period. Like, this is a 5-star podcast, and you know what's up. I'm just kidding. But seriously, I appreciate any and all feedback. If you have some feedback for me, you can also email me, helloybo@gmail.com. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. Check me out on YouTube as well. And I'll be back with another episode. While I have your ear, I want to tell you that the next episode will be on September 8th. And then after that, I'm going to be taking a little fall hiatus, y'all. I've been putting out content consistently since January. So I just want to take a little break and then I'll be back. And yeah, make sure you follow, rate, review, subscribe. Thanks for listening.